This is your World War III update. Here is what is going on. We got some big, big news that has been in the works for a long time, and it's finally about to happen. And this is absolutely pivotal. We have a situation where one of the final pipelines that pumps natural gas from Russia to Europe is about to be completely shut off. Now, this pipeline transited Ukraine, and Russia, I know, get a load of this, was paying Ukraine transit fees that Ukraine presumably was converting into weaponry, or perhaps embezzling at this point, we don't know, and just using U.S. taxpayers' money for weapons. Either way, that money fed the Ukrainian war machine that in turn went back to killing Russians. I know it's a confusing, duplicitous, paradoxical situation, but such is the case with business in the age of globalization. What I'm trying to say is that that deal is no more. And what that means is that Russia has very little incentive now to hold back. Because in order for Ukraine to sustain this pipeline that Russia benefited from, Russia needed the revenue from this pipeline to fuel their war machine, they were likely being very surgical in terms of their attacks on Ukrainian critical infrastructure. Now that this, at least for the time being, is not an issue, then it's very likely that the Russians are going to turn up the heat and start going much harder than they were before. Hard as a mo-fricker. We're going to save our F-bombs for later because I know a lot of you got those sensitive eardrums and you think that it's poor etiquette and decorum to swear in videos. Well, if you're a person who's offended by swear words, you know what I think about your survivability post-SHTF. There's going to be a lot of ugly, gruesome situations that are going to be far, far worse than profanity hitting your eardrums. I can tell you that right now. So just get used to bad shit happening, okay? And we can prime ourselves and condition ourselves to that by letting Nate drop an F-bomb here and there. Anyways, this is very bad because this is one of the few remaining pipelines. This puts Russia in a very difficult predicament in that now their gas revenues, at least in the westward direction, have been cut probably by, I presume, 80, probably 90%. They still have Turkstream, which is the remaining one, and that is in the Black Sea, and that is, of course, overseen by Turkey. Well, let's put the pieces of the puzzle together here. Turkey just ejected Russia out of Syria. So we see this very interesting love rectangle between Europe, Russia, Turkey, and Syria. The Russians are basically now pushed to the periphery in Syria. Literally, all of their military equipment is at the ports being ready to be shipped back either to Russia or to Libya. Now, Turkey is in a unique situation in that this gives them a lot of leverage. Turkey needs the money. So they are in a situation where they need Russian natural gas to flow. And not only that, they also want to be a gas hub from Syria itself. So they want to be like the nexus of all of this transiting of gas. So they stand to benefit by Nord Stream getting blown up. They benefit by all of these pipelines going kaput as well. And it also puts them in a position where they can perhaps demand even more for transit fees. However, NATO also has a vested interest, and the EU has explicitly shown their support for the suspension of gas flows through Ukraine in effectively siding with the Ukrainian decision and saying that we're more than happy to pay exorbitant amounts for Uncle Sam's liquefied natural gas. Remember what Trump said. He said that if Europe, our vassal states, don't buy our liquefied natural gas and oil, guess what? We're going to hit you with tariffs. And I don't know how much these tariffs are going to be, but I'm quite certain that the situation is going to be such that the tariffs, the detriment of the tariffs is going to be worse than Europe being cut off from cheap Russian natural gas. This is how this is going to be designed. Now, if the European people become conscious and start revolting against this, which they sort of are in a way, but it's more being directed along like racial lines, and there's a lot of misdirection going on there. The real culprit here is Uncle Sam, who is trying to keep Europe under its boot heel by selling natural gas and oil. That's just what it is. This is not a judgment call. This is just what it is. That is exactly what is going on, guys. Okay? They want to cut Russia out of the market entirely. Remember, this is all about Nord Stream. This is all about all of this energy, billions and billions and bazillions, as Trump would say, of dollars going into Europe. And this is why Trump made that ultimatum to Europe. And this is why they might actually propose a situation with Turkey and say that if you don't cut this Turk Stream shit off, then maybe there's going to be consequences for you too. What those consequences are going to mean, I don't know. I don't know what sort of deal Trump could strike with Turkey. I don't think it's necessarily in NATO and the EU's interest to cut Russian gas off entirely. I mean, they've already pretty much done that. The only thing really holding this all together too, the X factor here, is the climate in Europe, which has been abnormally warm ever since the war began. I mean, I don't think there's been very few periods where it's been below average for the time of year. It's always above average for the last 3 years. Europe is one of the places that is warming the fastest on the planet. And that means they've kind of lucked out and they haven't had to use a lot of natural gas. There's been a couple winters where there really hasn't even been winter in Ukraine. So it wasn't a bad year. They don't have to use a lot of energy. So all of these things are factors in how this is going to play out. But what concerns me is that now Russia has very little incentive to go easy in Ukraine, because of course that's why they were doing it for the longest time. It was right there staring us in the face the whole time. And now they've basically said, well, they haven't said it officially yet, but because there's no deal, what incentive do they have? Now, I don't think they're going to blow up these pipelines, because the idea is that, hey, if we can keep this infrastructure somewhat intact, maybe down the road, some more reasonable people will be on the other side and we'll be able to do business once again. However, this pipe dream, pie in the sky idea that some private individual in the United States is going to buy Nord Stream and start pumping Russian gas into Germany again, I mean, there's a reason why that's not happening right now. It's because of the relationship between Germany, the United States, the Trump tariff thing, which is an ultimatum, which is a somewhat, not a declaration of war against Russia, but that's an aggressive move towards Russia. To say that if you don't buy our stuff instead of Russia's, because the goal, of course, is the strategic defeat of Russia, then we're going to impose tariffs on you. Then, of course, Europe has every incentive to turn their back on cheap Russian gas, which would allow them to prosper in an industrial sense and bring jobs back and start maybe having babies again. But it's not looking like that's going to be the case, okay? So one other thing that could happen here is that elements of Ukraine, the same guys that did Nord Stream, the UK, US Central Intelligence, could potentially blow up Turk Stream. That's something that they could say, and they could threaten Erdogan with that. Veiled threats, of course. It wouldn't make it directly. Of course, Turkey has nukes, and clearly this Jolani character, who is very friendly with Israel, clearly there's some kind of arrangement that's been made with Turkey and the United States and Israel, despite all of the tough talk and bluster and ostentatious displays from Erdogan. So it's looking as though this shit's going to go down, okay? Everything points towards escalation. Russia rejected the peace proposal by Trump, which would have whatever remained of the Ukrainian rump state incorporated into NATO in 10 to 20 years, they rejected that. So we know that they've rejected Trump's deal. Trump has now given an economic ultimatum which seeks to strategically defeat the Russians. There's been no slowdown in hostilities. Today, the Ukrainians blew up the, I believe it's called the Drizba, or is it Drizda? Drizda or Drizba pipeline, oil pipeline in Russia. Now, think of all of the things that have happened to Russia's oil and gas structure. Remember, the reason why we talk about this is thermonuclear Armageddon, because that's where this all ends. This might not seem like it's affecting your bottom line at home, although it is in a third degree separation sort of way. This pipeline that was blown up and all of the refineries and all of the oil and gas infrastructure that's been targeted by Ukrainian drone attacks, and now the cessation of gas flows through Ukraine and everywhere else in Europe, with the exception of Turkstream. Now you have this situation where the Russian shadow fleet, which I believe is comprised of several hundred vessels that secretly ship oil and gas into Europe, now that is being targeted. And of course, it's being targeted because of these incidents where they're claiming that the Russians are using these ships to engage in hybrid warfare against NATO. They're saying that this ship was used, this Eagle S ship, dragged its anchor across the seafloor and took out some essential undersea cables. I'm not sure, probably telecommunications, I presume, in the Gulf of Finland. Okay? So they're using that as a precedent then to essentially do inspections and possibly even put an embargo on these ships, which of course Russia has said this would be an act of war. But you can see the oil and gas infrastructure of Russia is being attacked on all fronts. And the question is how long can Russia sustain these deleterious effects of these attacks on their oil and gas infrastructure? Now, of course, they continue to sell to places like India and China, who are more than happy to scoop up that cheap crude, especially if the U.S. declares war on Iran and the price of oil goes through the roof. Well, you know, the problem is then it puts the United States in a difficult predicament with the Russians, with the EU, is that Russia's gas and oil revenue will skyrocket if a war with Iran breaks out. So there's so many moving parts here. And I think a lot of our leaders are just flying by the seat of our pants. They don't think that many moves ahead. And how could you in this type of environment where you have so many overarching interests at play and so many private interests at play and military interests conflicting with energy interests and energy interests conflicting with financial interests and banking interests and the seizure of assets and global finance? I mean, it's crazy. So all we know though is that things are heating up, and because Europe is now going to be paying way more for natural gas, it's already skyrocketed today. As if, I mean, we knew this was coming for the past year. Ukraine basically said that the deal is done on January 1st, 2025. I guess perhaps there was hope that there would be some sort of deal struck, but of course there hasn't been. So now we're sitting at levels of natural gas in Europe, which of course is dictated regionally. It's not like the global price of oil, it is largely regional. And now we're back at those early 2023 levels, still far off the highs of 2022. But if Europe gets a cold snap, it very well could go there. And this is why Europe is doing everything it can to prepare for World War III. So Poland is going to be closing its borders with Belarus by summer of 2024. They're now going to be building a major corridor onto the border of Kaliningrad, because they anticipate that someday they're going to have to invade this country, and putting more forces in around the Suwalki corridor, offensive forces, not defensive, presuming that the Russians might have some sort of missile defense capability or nuclear weapons possibly within this region as well. And then, of course, they're building this series of bunkers and fortifications and what are those things called? Dragon's teeth and fencing and the whole nine yards across from Poland all the way up to Finland, in fact. So it's not looking good at all on that particular front. Everything points towards escalation. People are holding out hope for the Trump administration, but I'm telling you, everything that we can see with our own eyes suggests that things are escalating beyond repair. Today, Ukraine not only attacked that Druzhda pipeline, they also attacked a bunker of high-level commanders in the Kursk region, of course, the Russian region, using ATACMS missiles. They also did a massive bombardment of Sevastopol, which, of course, is very close to the Crimean Bridge, which is one of their primary prizes that they would hope to bring home before Trump enters into office in, 21 days and counting. So big, big things are brewing. Now, as a harbinger for this potential bad news on the horizon, Ukrainian television sets were hacked, allegedly. Now, they're saying it's a hack. They're saying that the Russians hacked Ukrainian television sets, warning them about an Erezhnik attack coming in the coming hours, appeared on Ukrainian TV channels. Now, think about this, okay? You guys seen our Christmas special. Knowing, you know, being in a war zone in Ukraine, could you imagine getting a message like this? Now, in Ukraine, I think they have a drill, they have a procedure that they follow to go into the bunker. So I'm sure everybody there at this point has had to go into a bunker at one point or another. So they're accustomed to hearing the sirens, getting notifications on their phones. But I don't think they're accustomed to this. I don't know if it's going to wake people up. People in Ukraine, apparently, from what we're told, because we don't really know the truth. We don't know the truth that's coming from the people who are watching their sons scooped up off the streets against their will. We don't know if the polls are real. We don't know. I mean, there's a reason why Zelensky has postponed the election and you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I can presume that this was likely quite shocking for people. Now, they're saying that this was just a Russian hack. But recall that Vladimir Putin said that the next time we use Erezhnik, don't worry, because we're going to do, what do they call it in Israel, roof knocking. Or they're going to notify you in advance that they're going to drop a bomb on you. So I presume that many people were under the impression that that's what this was. Okay, so I think that if anything, knowing what we know now about how things are escalating in terms of the financial aspects of all of this, it's very likely that Russia will be forced to do something quite drastic before Trump enters into office. Okay, so that's what's going down. This is a video of the strike near the Kursk region where allegedly this is a bunker that's on fire. So that's where a lot of the North Korean soldiers are alleged to be fighting, doing human wave tactics, as the Western media is saying, although there's, you know, I mean, Western media is pretty much as good as dead at this point in time. What else do we got going on here? In Finland, they're building 300 new firearms training centers in anticipation of a war with Russia. So as I've always said, you know, they're more than willing to give you your gun rights back when it's high time to send you to war to fight on behalf of people who don't give a damn if you live or die, quite frankly. Russia is withdrawing from the nuclear cleanup agreement. Again, all of these, this bucking of international standards and international agreements, it just creates a more precarious environment as far as nuclear materials are concerned. This is the Kobozna ammo depot that is in Transnistria, which of course Moldova is going to have its sights on after January 1st, after the gas stops flowing. They're going to have incentive to probably utilize Ukraine in part to try to take over this facility. Now they're saying that if this facility were to blow up, that it would be akin to a nuclear weapon going off. So you can see here, blast radius, you could see homes demolished, mass casualties within 0.5 kilometers, buildings damaged at 9 kilometers but still habitable, damaged eardrums at 2 kilometers, all buildings damaged beyond repair at 1.5 kilometer radius, and even at 100 kilometers, you would hear ground vibrations occur. Anyways, that's what's going down on the war front, at least in that one particular area. Things seem to be somewhat cooling down in the Middle East, although I would not hold my breath on that. What we're seeing right now is that the Iranians, oh, and I forgot to tell you that Poland's first F-35s just arrived. They received two F-35s. This, of course, is a nuclear-capable platform, and of course, that's perfectly in line with all of the militarization that we're seeing in Poland ever since Steadfast Defender. In terms of what's happening in the Middle East, this Jelani character that they threw in a suit and basically are hoping that people forget about the fact that he was on the Al-Qaeda wanted list, FBI wanted list for $10 million for the longest time, he appears to be trying to play it very cool and appease all sides. And we still have the Hezbollah ceasefire, which is in effect. It's going to expire in about a month's time. Yemen is lobbing missiles into Israel every day or so, which is having very little effect, it seems, at least not that we know, because information is very tightly controlled coming out of Israel. It's sending people scrambling to the bunkers. There's no doubt about that. But it's not, you know, strategically threatening to Israel at all. If anything, it is just going to put Yemen further in the crosshairs, which will, of course, force Israel to use its assets in that region. But I think that's what they want to do. They want to systematically take out the entire axis of resistance and then finally end up on Iran. But Iran has received Su-35 fighter jets from Russia. This is a platform which has actually had peer-to-peer experience in the Ukrainian theater. So these are tested weapon systems, which, unlike a lot of Western-made systems, haven't been tested against a peer or a near-peer adversary. So depending on, you know, whether Russian pilots are in these things, or which I doubt, because Russia needs all the pilots it can get at this point, they're getting that, and then they're going to be entering a strategic partnership with Iran come September 17th. I'm not sure why they're pushing it so close to Trump entering into office. Perhaps they're trying to get some more concessions out of Iran, Russia, that is, trying to, you know, ensure that they're getting something more out of the deal, or maybe there is some disagreement happening there. I'm not too sure. But that's what's going on. And China, Taiwan, shit's still heating up. The Chinese practicing the art of war, as they always do. They're continuing to get stronger and stronger, rolling out new weapons like sixth-generation fighter jets and new warships, amphibious warships. And so, you know, when China mobilizes militarily, it is going to be something that shocks the world, because, you know, this hacking attack that happened today is just another sign that, you know, we're getting very close to that conflict. And all of these conflicts are arguably just proxy conflicts for that conflict. We cannot forget that the Chinese, ultimately 15 times larger economy than Russia, probably 100 times the industrial capacity as Russia, and 10 times the population. That is who really poses the biggest threat to the West. Now, we have Elon Musk, you know, that goody-two-shoe Elon Musk, the guy who's a champion of free speech. You know, it's incredibly Orwellian that they've convinced people, okay, get a load of this, they've convinced people that the guy behind the most dystopian technology that everybody feared for decades, the guy behind it all, who just so happens to now be the wealthiest man in the world, is also the one who's fighting for the little guy, right? Can you believe that? Anyways, I just want to make sure my microphone's on here. I don't want Elon Musk to turn it off on me, although he might after what I'm about to say. They've convinced people that this guy is, you know, like one of the bros, right? He puts a fart button in his car. He does some quirky things, trendy things, and he's on there on X blobbing on the toilet like the rest of us. Okay, cool. Elon Musk is the wealthiest slave, okay, essentially, I think, because he's a patsy, and I'm 110% convinced of that. You're telling me that the guy that brings in brain chips, the guy that is likely going to be one of the pioneers of the technology that essentially outlaws your ability to drive your own vehicle because autonomous driving, which they've very sneakily called self-driving. Have you noticed that? Self-driving. It's self. It's yourself. No, it's the car. It should be called autonomous driving. It's not self-driving. Anyways, the guy who invents brain chips, autonomous driving, putting Starlink in all the remote communities, so even if you tried to get off-grid, you can't anymore. What else? The guy who controls X, who wants to make one app to rule them all, right? Because we are the media now, as the meme goes. The guy who is now rolling out this direct-to-cell service, which is absolutely incredible. It's going to put a lot of those satellite phones out of business. It's going to put a lot of those GPS beacons, those, what are they called? Emergency SOS beacons. It's going to put a lot of those companies out of business. But this is one of the most draconian things because you don't even have to have hardware on your phone. Now, consider what this means. If you have a phone, let's say you're running from the cops, but you're innocent, right? And you're in the deep in the Canadian Boreal Forest where there ain't no cell signal, but you're using your, I don't know, you don't have good survival skills. You're using your plant identification app, or you have the Wikipedia app that downloads all the information of Wikipedia and you're studying up various survival skills. You're using your one of the 25 survival apps on that one video I did that one time. And you're just minding your own business. And all of a sudden, you hear a helicopter overhead that somehow pinpointed your exact location. How the hell did they do that? Well, maybe they triangulated it with Starlink satellites, which now can directly reach out and touch any cell phone on the planet, whether or not they have an app or hardware installed. Okay, these are the most draconian types of technology, and they're all being pushed by Elon Musk, the hip bro who's tweeting from the toilet. That's what they want you to think. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible how we've all been tricked into this whole thing? And here's who's going to replace us. Now, this beautiful young lady right here. Oh, actually, is she a beautiful young lady? Let's just see. What about this lady here? Is she real? She looks pretty real to me. Looks like just an average influencer. Remember, we've come from Will Smith. These are not real people, by the way. Okay? We've come from Will Smith not being able to eat spaghetti, or the spaghetti eating Will Smith, if you know the meme, where that's the test for AI, is if we can get Will Smith to actually look like he's eating spaghetti. Well, they finally passed that Turing test of sorts. Now, these are all fake people, and we've come this far in just a couple years, okay? So these are created by Google, I believe. This isn't even chapter. I mean, look at that. God, that looks real. Like, it's not even, it's uncanny. It's not even, it's just beyond the uncanny valley, because usually you can see little artifacts, little hallucinations in the image, little inconsistencies and things that shouldn't be there, but this is damn near flawless. Like, look at the way the woman walked by. You know, she's doing a thing. I mean, God, this is scary. And then we're entering a time of a global world war. What could possibly go wrong? Like, I'm trying to look for errors in these images, and I can't find any. I'm sure if you kind of really look at the movements of some of these extras in the background, like the lighting, everything. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Now, think about this. This is AI doing this. One thing I've commented on is graphics artists, computer graphics artists' inability to create convincing, uncanny valley eyes on their subjects. If you look at any computer game or any computer-generated CGI stuff, the eyes always are wrong. But AI seems to nail the eyes every single time somehow, because it's like there's not enough pixels in there. It depends on like where the reflections and stuff. I went down a rabbit hole one night researching it a long time ago. But it's very hard to make a convincing set of eyes. But this AI is doing it in a matter of seconds. So imagine when they get to the point when they're going to be able to do this in real time. You're talking about the Matrix. Yeah, this is the Matrix. Now, we're far from having the computational power to do that, but I would say that it's probably only, I mean, we're probably going to start seeing in the next few months real-time AI video generation. It's probably going to suck, but real-time video generation on this level might take a couple more years, but this is a very, very scary time we're entering, my friends. Very scary to have this type of technology. And they'll get somebody hip and trendy to sell that to you too. But here's the reality of what's going on. U.S. credit card loan defaults jump. 2024, we're approaching where they were at the peak of the financial crisis in 2010. Now remember, gold didn't peak until 2012. That's when gold peaked. Or was it late 2011? So we're still in the early phases of this collapse, I do believe. So get ready, man. It's going to get rough. And look at this. Feeling merry. This is a percent of respondents who are expecting stock prices to rise over the coming year. Stock prices that are currently just off all-time record highs. Okay? Stock prices that have been going up, I don't know, what is it, 10, 20% a year for the last few years? Just outrageously overvalued stock market. And people, 55% of people are feeling merry about the stock market. I mean, where was it? Okay, in 2008, it was 21. Less than half of what it is today. Okay, the average appears to be around like 35-ish. We're at 55. I mean, that explains Fartcoin. I mean, our society is screwed. I mean, look at this. MicroStrategies, this guy who's got a God complex, a messianic complex developing. Well, MicroStrategy, the guy who, Michael Saylor, I want to get him on the channel to just try to understand, you know, where he's coming from, because it all just seems like a scam to me. When you are buying Bitcoin, thus driving the price of Bitcoin up, thus driving the price of your stock up, which only value is in holding Bitcoin, then issuing more shares of said stock to buy more Bitcoin. But today, what happened? Well, MicroStrategy did its usual Monday purchase of Bitcoin. Today, they purchased 2,000 Bitcoin, and the price went down of Bitcoin, immediately went down to like 92. I think it bounced back. You know, we don't look at the day-to-day oscillations. It's trading range-bound between 90 to 100,000 for the most part. But what this means is that the strategy is starting to become ineffective and they're buying less and less Bitcoin. At its highs, yes, it's true that MicroStrategies is up like 400 or 500% since the beginning of the year. But if you're this poor sap, Pepe, what would she call him? Pepe Wojak, at 473, if you bought in, you're now sitting at 307, and after hours trading, it's actually down to like 290. Now, by the time I turn this video off and go and check, it could be at freaking 500 again, because that's just the maniacal oscillations of the current marketplace. But yeah, shit's fucked up. There's your F-bomb. Here's your F-bomb. Look at this options trading. Holy shit, people are going to lose a lot of money. A lot of money. Look at this. How many millions of options contracts, options trading, if you don't know what it is, you can lose a lot more than you invest, okay? And that is the problem. It's gambling to the highest degree. And there's a lot of people gambling, a lot of people who are overly optimistic about the markets, and people are buying Fartcoin. The Chinese aren't. The Chinese are buying gold. They've increased their net gold imports via Hong Kong in November, more than double month to month. And I found this was fairly interesting. You have ants. You know how they show the videos of the ants going for the butter instead of the processed factory-made margarine? Well, here are ants. For some reason, they're carrying a gold chain. So the question is, would the ants prefer the gold chain or the nothing Bitcoin? There's one for Peter Schiff. Little joke for you. But guys, I mean, our world is screwed. We as Americans are screwed. Look, I don't necessarily, I know that there's some ulterior motive to Elon Musk and Vivek promoting the H-1B visa things, that they want to keep wages down. I get that. But when Vivek says the culture, American, and when I say American, I mean North American. Don't get it twisted. Canadians and Americans are damn near exactly the same when it comes to culture. Our culture is completely and utterly fucked. And if you don't think so, then you're in denial. Think about all the things. I mean, we are already one iteration removed from this guy. Okay, this guy is already old hat in terms of how dumb we are. Tekashi69, if you don't know who he is, be thankful, okay? But this guy is already old news. We've already gotten dumber than this since this guy. I mean, think about the things in the last year. We've got Hawk Tua, okay? Remember, how did she get famous? She cracked a joke about spitting on dicks. Instant viral success. Why? Why? What about that whore who screwed 100 guys in a day? Instant success, and she did it in an Airbnb, okay? Completely contaminated some poor sap's Airbnb, which they're probably going to try to make that illegal soon, right? You got Fartcoin. Fartcoin. I mean, there's a coin for freaking everything. You got the fentanyl zombies tweaking out in the streets. The meth heads, the drugs just keep getting more and more extreme. Everything keeps getting more and more extreme. You got the Jake Paul fight. That was the most watched thing, okay, of 2024. Jake Paul fighting a washed out Mike Tyson who quite possibly threw that fight. Let's get honest. Anything on TikTok, people consuming for hours on end, mindless TikTok. I have a rule in my house. I do not allow my kids to watch shorts because I can see it rotting their brains in real time. And we are a generation that's wired on that. And that is why the Chinese have made it illegal. Okay? And Trump wants to keep it for some reason, probably to have some sort of leverage in negotiations. You got Elon Musk wanting to go to Mars for some reason, even though Mars is worse than the absolute worst desert. It is 10 times worse than Antarctica. Okay? And he wants to go to Mars, the guy who built the Cybertruck, okay, you have people on their 10th booster shots, you have Biden and his unintelligible babbling that up until a couple months ago was perfectly acceptable to the mainstream media, you have all the money printing, and I barely am scratching the surface here about how fucked we are as a culture. Yes, our culture is screwed, and if we take offense to that, then that is just how screwed it is. That's just more testament to the fact that it is very, very screwed. So it's not surprising that the Chinese are hacking the U.S. Treasury and shit's going to hit the fan. 2025 is going to be a bad, bad year. It is going to be like the blow-off top year where, you know, the same thing happened in 2009, 2010. In the very least, we're going to see a big correction. There's no way around it. I just do not see. It's going to take a very delicate balancing act in order to keep things together. Guys, this is your last day to capitalize. The pre-tariff Boxing Week sale at CanadianPreparedness.com. I don't know. This might put me out of business this year. To be brutally honest, I don't know because everything is going to get jacked in price. And I would just strongly recommend that you stock up. We got blow up prices, 15% off the highest quality stuff that very well could be twice the price this time next year. depending on where it's made. I mean, our jackets are made in Canada, Outdoor Survival Canada jackets, the warmest jackets in the world. But just because of the potential for tariffs between the United States and Canada, you know, it's going to create complications. But we got all kinds of incredible products that you're not going to find anywhere else, all under one roof, all top-notch stuff. Go load up the cart, load the boats, because they're burning the boats in many places. And, you know, shit's hitting the fan, man. It's always hitting the fan. Have a long-term strategy, though. I don't want people to be panic preppers. That is not what I'm trying to encourage on this channel. I want you to be long-term thinkers. I want you to hedge your bets. I don't want you to just run off into the woods, and I don't want you maxing out your credit cards for this stuff, okay? This is a disposable income problem. This is an issue of not maybe going to the football game half as much as you normally would for the sake of putting something away, forgoing certain luxuries for insurance, and that's all prepping is. So on that note, I'm going to let you good folk go, and we will see you maybe tomorrow, but maybe not until next year. If I don't, Happy New Year. It is going to be a wild one.